take it from here.
First, I'd like to introduce the people you see in front of you, which shouldn't need too much introduction. You know Matt Horn, myself, and Barb are part of your normal everyday band. Jim Armstrong is back after a year's hiatus. Matt Schultz comes and goes. We see him once in a while here. And then Ben Leonardi, he was one of the original band members of this group. So, first we'd like you to stand in the back of your hymnal, the back of your hymnal are the words to this song, and Jim is going to introduce it as soon as he gets through Cape Way.
Well, you may or may not remember, not everybody was here when we did this, but we got together as a group and we workshopped what our values and our fellowship, what our values were. And that was with Nancy, when Nancy was our music director, and we came up with a whole big whiteboard full of ideas, which I wrote down, and we went and we were gonna write a song, and then this song kind of popped into my head, and Nancy said, let's go with that. And at that point, I had barely performed a guitar at all. And Nancy, I wanted to thank you, first of all, for being so darn supportive, because it was the beginning, I think, for me, of a whole adventure. And I just want to say that even when you're, and I'll be retired as of next week, even when you're retired, you can learn things, or when you're older, you can learn things, because I've got this whole new part of my life, thanks to you guys, and for playing with the band and all that, that's become a big part of my life. But this song, was the sort of first time I realized I might be a songwriter.
Yeah, stand up. Give me your last chance for a
while. I've been traveling down this road for such a long, long time. When I met you was a girl, your story was like mine.
Thank you.
All right, so I guess the procedure here is we're all going to play a song. And just give a very brief comment about our guitar journeys. This song is one that I wrote during the pandemic. There is a magnolia tree down on Lake Winona. It's down by the hospital, and it blooms every year about this time. You've probably seen it. It's over by the parking lot by the Y, across from the Y. Well, that magnolia tree reminds me every year of the first year of the pandemic when John Prine died of COVID-19. So this is a song I wrote for John Prine. Well, the big yellow moon was rising in the eastern sky. It was Tuesday evening, it was just about 7 o'clock, the night that John Prine died. I didn't know anything about it. My wife and I just went out for a walk. On the corner, a kid had drawn a heart of many colors with a box of sidewalk chalk. It was the time of the epidemic. We were all in quarantine, watching our neighbors through the window, watching TV on our computer screen. Old people alone in nursing homes, little kids were afraid to go outside. We were keeping our social distance on the night that John Prine died. A nurse was driving to a hospital like a fireman to a fire. Grocery clerk was scanning canned pork and beans like a hero walking a high wire. The president was being a jerk as usual, making everybody else do his job. The only thing he had to fear was a loneliness. Only cure for loneliness is love. Some of us had our priorities rearranged. Some of us went out with the tide. Some of us finally got that basement clean the night that John Prine died. I didn't know anything about it. Wife and I just went out for a walk. On the corner, a kid had written love one another with a box of sidewalk chalk. It was the first nice day of April. We were glad to be outside. Down by the lake, that magnolia tree was budding on the night that John Prine died. Down by the lake, that magnolia tree was budding on the night that John Prine died.
Thank you. So I'm here to sing, to tell you a story of my guitar, since it's Guitar Sunday. I better get my music. So I was a 18-year-old at a suitcase college on a Saturday night watching Saturday Night Live, and James Taylor came on to open the show. And James Taylor's magical, so I was kind of mesmerized. I'd heard his songs before, but I'd never paid a lot of attention to who it was. But he was up there just picking away at an acoustic guitar, and I was like, I've got to learn the guitar, because I knew I could sing, and I was at that college to sing in the choir. And we had a guitar in the attic at our house, so I went home over Thanksgiving, got out that guitar, and it hardly stayed in tune for more than 2 minutes, but I kept at it for several months. And when I came home for spring break, I kept playing around on it and singing, and after about a week of hearing that, my dad took me to the pawn shop in Winona here and bought me this guitar. So that's my story of my guitar. So some of the first songs I learned once I got good enough, and I'm by no means the best guitar player up here, not even close, but I wanted to learn or play some James Taylor for you. So one of the wonderful things I found out about after starting the guitar was the little tool called the capo, because I'm a high tenor, so a lot of popular songs are too low for me to really sing well. So the capo is like just a wonderful, simple little $10 tool to buy. So I'll show you a little bit about what the capo can do for you. So here's no capo on a guitar. Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they've made put an end to you. So that's James Taylor's Fire and Rain, key of C. So I can just keep putting this capo on and moving it up, and I would just play around and see which key I thought I sounded best in, and that's what I would perform it in at coffee houses or whatever. So here's just up a half. You can hear what a difference that makes in the overall key. Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they've made put an end to you. So that's a half. So I can keep moving it up. And I believe this is the key of G, so it's on the third fret. And I happen to like the first fret quite a bit, but sometimes I like singing it up a little higher. Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. So it's a different feel to it than that E minor, right? And then sometimes I like to go all the way up to the fifth fret. Or higher. You can get a ukulele or a music box sound up when you go up a little higher. I noticed Jim had his tune that he wrote capoed up pretty high. Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. So, you get a sense of what the capo can do for you if you're not a guitar player. So that was really fun for me to discover early on in the guitar. But the song I'm going to sing for you is one that James Taylor made popular. And it's actually written by Carole King, who I think is one of the underappreciated songwriters. And the reason I'm going to try to play this one for you. I like the finger pick, and so I'm going to try to finger pick it for you. The chords match the words so well in this song. It's You've Got a Friend. So she's using all kinds of minor chords, the A minor, she's thrown in E7, D minor, sometimes even, F minor, which is a little tricky to play, a B flat chord. And then in the chorus, she's going to those really nice feel-good chords. C is the most feel-good chord there is, and then G, I think, and F. So you listen to the chord changes and see how it affects the mood of the song.
When you're down and trouble and you need a helping hand, nothing is going right. Your eyes and think of me, and soon you will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together. Call my name out loud, soon you'll be knocking upon your door. It just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is. Your soul if you let them know, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call.
This is one that I made when I was at school in Red Wing, the guitar building program. A song that is mostly figured out that I wrote. Thank you.
sister, and her name was Jennifer, and she does choir teaching and still involved with music a lot, but I used to listen to her play on a nice upright piano that we had growing up, and Cristofori's Dream was the name of the piece by David Lanz. And it's one that I heard you play a while ago when I first started coming to this church. And I thought, Spiral Dance, which is also by the same artist, David Lanz. And my brother played that piece, and I just really liked how my sister played, and I wanted to learn how to do that. And so I started taking piano lessons when I was 5, and I did that for a while. And then I started hearing like rock music and some of the popular music on TV at the time, probably MTV, I think, it's, or the radio, things like that. And I wanted to learn guitar, because so many of those musicians and bands were playing guitar music. And so I knew that somewhere in my house we had a guitar laying around, and I had to dig through some different closets, but my mom had an old 70s Yamaha, like jumbo acoustic, and I couldn't really rock the way that I had planned on rocking at the time, but I would just play the songs anyway on that. And I just, from learning a lot of the basics and stuff, I got into folk music and learning how to play fingerstyle pieces. I remember learning Dust in the Wind and a few other things that, you know, made me start to appreciate acoustic music, folk music, and things like that more. And I was playing baritone, but then I moved up to the electric guitar. I wanted to try that, and I saved up a bunch of money, and then my parents helped with half of it for my birthday, and I got this Gibson Les Paul special guitar, and I wanted to learn how to play like Jimi Hendrix and Jimmy Page. Those were the kinds of guitar heroes and stuff that I was really into at the time. A lot of classic rock stuff and blues. I got into Stevie Ray Vaughan. I had an uncle that really, really liked blues, and he gave me that guitar that I was playing earlier. That's a guitar that was his that he passed on to me, and gave me a bunch of music and would encourage me to learn more and keep playing and like what I was doing. A lot of the music that was in my house was either like classical, maybe a little bit of new age, and then church music. So my music was a little outside of what mostly was playing in my house, but he accepted what I liked, and I was really motivated to learn more. And I've just continued to play ever since. I have had several, most of my encouragement with music comes through the interaction I have with other people that play music and being able to, you know, share little ideas I'm working on or share music that we're both interested in, and then being able to play it just adds another dimension to listening for me, and it just makes it all the more fun. It's interactive that way. And I had a friend in Arizona who really liked music that got me into reggae, and so I started learning that, and he got me into jazz fusion from the 70s and all these different things, and really broadened my horizons musically. And then to come full circle, when I came here, I had heard, you playing that Spiral Dance piece, and that just felt like home to me, because that was something that David Lanz music was the thing that I kept hearing my oldest sister play that first made me interested in what is this thing that these people are doing, and how can I make beautiful sounds like that and participate in that. So, and here I am, still playing music. I still enjoy it a lot. I like doing it with the church group here, and then I love doing it therapeutically a lot at home. I play a little bit with, I had played a little bit with a band, but I'm not really doing anything like that right now. Mostly just, what I get out of it is the love of doing it, and just the good feelings that you get while, you know, playing something that you love, and being able to use your creativity and that kind of thing. So, that's it.
I'm going to basically talk about my story, my time with guitar. Okay, but I think I get the prize for being the greatest number of years as a guitar player. Half a century. Half a century. I've been playing for a long, long time. Started somewhere in the fifth grade. My first guitar teacher, my only guitar teacher, was a guy named Andy Krim, who just happened to be, for whatever reason, just happened to be in this small little town of Stratford, Iowa, one summer, and took a liking to me and started teaching me guitar. One of my first, one of my first gigs, if you will, as a young student, was at church, of course, because that's where I developed most of my talents and what. And I remember the story because I got up there, ready to perform, played the intro, could not find the starting note. It was horrible. I was mortified, but I changed the key and tried again. Three times I changed the key before I finally got it right. But what that experience taught me was that the show must go on, and you fake it till you make it. As time went on, I was in charge of music at anything that I was at. Youth groups, church performances, weddings, you name it. I started doing all that kind of stuff. And that went on for the entire time. I should backtrack just a second, though, when I was in sixth grade, we moved to Colorado from that little town of Iowa. Coincidentally, Andy Krim, my guitar teacher, was going to school out in Denver, and so he continued to give me some lessons. He had a great arrangement. He would come out, give me an hour or so, play together, and then Mom would feed him supper, which is the best thing you can do for a college student, right? When I was in high school, I joined the first band, my first band then, and it was kind of interesting because it was an established church group band that we'd go out and do gigs Sunday evening at just various churches. But I was the member, new member, and so what they did was said, okay, this is the song, which I didn't know, had never heard before. It's in the key of G, and you sing alto. Okay, let's go. It was challenging. It was challenging, but it really sharpened my skills for that very thing. And I continued to be the leader of the group or leading a youth group or doing whatever. My entire career, if you will, of guitar. But it wasn't just the guitar that I loved. It was the music. I loved singing. I was in every chorus group or concert group singing, any choral music, and I loved it. One of my favorite memories was when I was a young adult in California. Our group, our church choir, 140 voice church choir, was really good. And we went to Europe one summer. 106 of us did. But we were in some little town in Austria, I think it was. And a bunch of us walked into the little church that Luther posted his sign up or whatever it was he did. But it was just a little fun little quiet church, and there were several of us in there. I don't know, maybe 20 or so of us, 20, 30 of us. And somebody started singing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." For those of you that recognize that from old church times, It was a powerful hymn. And we did it a cappella, of course. And started to sing. It was amazing. It was one of the most enjoyable times I've ever had. And when we were done, I mean, you could hear a pin drop. Just everybody was so overwhelmed by that community, by that communal act in that time. It was a real spiritual moment for me. And I enjoyed those a lot from time to time. Over a period of time, there were years when I went, times when I went for years without playing at all because I didn't have anything to get ready for. It seemed I was always, as I look back a little bit here, I was always preparing for the next gig, learning music for a particular situation, and or you know, for something at excuse me. I didn't know this was really hard to talk this much. but let's see. But the as I looked back over the last 50 years, I realized that I didn't play for me. Rarely ever did I pull the guitar out for me. It was always in preparation for someone else or for some other situation, some other group. One of the things about the 12 string, I'll just tell you briefly. Oh, which by the way, I forgot to tell you. Andy Krim, a college student, gave me my first 12 string ovation. This is actually the second, which I replaced when I was in college. So that was a nice little bonus. Okay, a 12 string is harder to play in several one ways in which, because it requires a lot of physical strength of the hand, more so than any of the other guitars do. Reason for that is because you've got your regular string, and then you've got one of a much smaller diameter right next to it, which is the octave. And so when you put pressure down to make a chord, you've got to apply enough pressure that it not only gets that first fatter string, but also gets that little tiny string. And it becomes a little more difficult to play. And so what's happening now is, as I've aged 50 more years, can't play so well anymore. You know, things start to move and our hands are getting crooked and, you know, typical arthritis aging stuff. And so I can't play it very much anymore. You may have noticed I've switched over to my six string often times, but got it back out today for this. So I think while I invite my colleagues here to get their stuff reset up. When we got together a couple weeks ago to plan this thing out, we wrote a little song, a little instrumental piece. We called it Springtime. Double check. instead of having a quiet meditation before we wander off to coffee, we're going to do a loud meditation. And we're all going to do it together, or not. It's up to you. But I invite you all to stand. If you want to start going and getting your coffee, that's fine. We're just going to play together a little ditty here.
It's good table setting up music, too.
Yes.